God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Greetings in the name of the Lord. This is Pastor Larry. Thank you for being with us. In John chapter 5, verse 36, Jesus said, "But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me." If a man came into the world and began to heal lepers, restoring paraplegics, reconstructing crippled limbs, and restoring sight to the blind, we would instantly acclaim him more than a man. If a man walked on water, calmed storms, and fed more than 5,000 men at one time with a boy's lunch, we would suspect that that man was more than human. If a man stopped a funeral procession and raised the only son of a grieving widow, returning him to his mother, all before many witnesses, we would be amazed. This, of course, is what the Lord Jesus did. And he did more. In Mark chapter 2, he said to the man with palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Some of the scribes began to grumble and murmur, "Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" Anyone can say your sins are forgiven, but Jesus added, "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house." And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw it on this fashion." We are back at the microphone with Douglas Woodward. I must say I've had Douglas on the show many, many times before. He's quite a prolific writer, and he writes on a number of topics. And I think that's very good because he's reading the whole Bible. He's thinking about all these issues, and it's kind of like, you know, if you have a doctor who is too focused on fingernails, well, what happens if you have a heart attack? I mean, you need somebody who understands the whole human body. And I think Douglas understands the whole panoply of Bible prophecy. And that gives him a real rounded insight and understanding of everything. And he brings a tremendous insight and looks at every aspect of the prophetic scriptures and seeks to synthesize them in a way that's agreeable with the Word of God. So we're going to continue talking with Douglas, and we're talking in particular about his new book, American Requiem, Why the USA Falls in the Last Days. Douglas, thank you so much for being with us once again.
Thank you for having me. Always a privilege and a pleasure.
Well, we are talking about the collapse of America, and so let's get a little bit specific. Where is the collapse coming from as you've studied contemporary events, current events, history, and also the Bible? Where is the collapse coming from?
Right. The reasons why the United States will fall in the last days, they really could be put into two different buckets. One bucket would be internal causes, what's going on in our nation itself that could cause us to collapse. But the second bucket would be what's happening outside of the United States. Foreign policy, our international affairs, hostilities, enemies, and so forth. So what I'll do here in a few minutes is I'll just walk through those different issues. And these are issues that I think that the listeners are going to be familiar with once I recite them. But causes from within. Well, certainly one of the things that I expect to happen perhaps in the next year, in 2021, certainly by 2022, the dollar will collapse. The dollar as the reserve currency will collapse for a couple of reasons. One is that we've seen the trillions of dollars that have been put into the money supply. I won't get too technical. I do have a master's in finance, but I won't get too technical in that. But long story short, the dollar will collapse because of inflation. We're going to hit a hyperinflation moment. We're going to also see there's clearly a movement towards what are called digital currencies. Bitcoin is one of the main ones that is the, you know, perhaps the most popular. We're also going to see the central bank is likely to be truly centralized. We are likely to move to one central bank in the world. Everyone likely will have an account with that bank, and the currency will be a digital currency. And so that is likely to happen, and that's part of the great reset that the IMF and the International Banks of Settlements, the World Bank, that they're pushing towards. And so Bitcoin versus the digital currency of the central bank, that will be a theme of this next year. Surveillance. We think about the surveillance culture, you know, that what's happened. If the listeners haven't seen a movie called The Great American about Bill Binney, I absolutely recommend that you watch that movie. It talks about surveillance, why it's such a problem. The issue of immorality, pedophilia. We've learned in the last few years that the leadership of the world, particularly the United States, is under a constant state of blackmail because of situations that have occurred where individuals are actually caught in the act of pedophilia, and that's used to force them into certain decisions. Some have wondered why the Supreme Court Justice John Roberts has done what he's done. Well, he happened to visit an island owned by Jeffrey Epstein. Enough said. We're weakened by never-ending wars. We've been fighting a war in Afghanistan for nearly 20 years, a war in Iraq for about 18 years. We live in a war economy, so we're seeing businesses destroyed because of the lockdown and so forth. The only corporations that really thrive, the main corporations that thrive, are those that manufacture weapons. Our largest cities they're threatened by chaos. We're seeing more and more riots. We're seeing Black Lives Matter and Antifa. They've really heightened racial tensions, and the hatred that's going on in our culture now is higher than it has been in decades. Police have become a public enemy. Law and order is a real problem. And we can't track our health based upon what Wall Street is doing. Wall Street, those numbers are artificially high. Why? Well, not to get too financial, but essentially, money is so cheap that corporations borrow money at zero interest and they purchase their own stock back. What that does is it drives the price up, and then the executives that have stock options cash in their options and make millions and millions of dollars. So it's a huge transfer of wealth from the poor to the rich. And so these are the factors that are going to cause us to collapse from within. Let me move on. I'll talk about some of the factors that could cause us to collapse from without. One of the biggest things that's happened in the last year is we've signaled China, if you want to defeat us, send us a pandemic. It causes us to completely destroy our own economy. So basically, we're being taken down by China without a shot. It's a very strategic way, and one can certainly envision that China, the long-term strategy player, would think that way. As the dollar collapses, our power diminishes. And so no longer can we dictate to the world how things must be done based upon dollars. Our resources are spread too thin. We can't continue to police the world, but we're trying. Our Navy retains great power, but as does our Air Force. But we're still sort of in that mode of what's called asymmetric warfare, which is that a David can defeat us as the Goliath. You know, a single nuclear bomb exploded sort of over the middle part of the continent could cause us to have basically the EMP strike that could knock out our grid and send us back to the 19th century. What's happened with Russia and its weapon system? Russia does not have a great navy, but what they do have is they have superior nuclear weapons and superior nuclear defense, anti-missiles, if you will. And so this causes Russia, or puts Russia in a position where it could attack the United States from a nuclear standpoint, and the United States would find it very difficult to counterattack. And so Russia has a very strong position over us. I believe that comes into play in Ezekiel 38 and 39. Anyway, so there's more that can be said, but these are factors that are huge. We could expect China to attack Taiwan. We can expect China to continue to put pressure in the South China Sea. All of these things are going to create stress for the United States. And so,
Douglas, this is something I want to ask because I'm sure some of our listeners will be thinking about it, but that is to talk about America's collapse. Is that unpatriotic?
Well, if you warn people that the collapse is coming, it might be the key to how we turn it around. If we can understand where our weaknesses are, perhaps we could do something about them. Now, I don't believe that we will, because I believe that our Congress is too trapped into its own own problems. It's basically unable to move. You know, the politicians are looking out for themselves. So I don't expect us to turn it around. But diagnosing the illness is usually the first step towards finding a cure.
I've often wondered, I'm not a Democrat and I don't support Joe Biden. I mean, he's extreme left-wing. You know, we have a new brand of Democrats today, not like JFK and others. I mean, this is extreme. I've often thought, and as I look at what's happening today, I think it's really been a good thing for America to have Joe Biden in for at least a couple of months, because I think a lot of people are really angry, and rightly so. I think the idea of feminized men playing against women and destroying female sports, the female weightlifting, now the records are being broken by 100 pounds. No wonder. Okay? So I don't know. Do you see some signs of goodness, maybe? And, you know, it was so refreshing for me to hear Donald Trump the other day. I really missed that guy.
Yeah, I know. I tend to agree. Yeah, I think that, you know, the political culture is really different than, you know, left versus right, Republican versus Democrat.
Right.
Essentially, what you're finding nowadays is you're finding people that are more on the far right and the far left actually agreeing that everyone in the middle, which is really the establishment, that they're our problem. That, you know, we can't get Congress to do things. The Republicans, all they can talk about is that we need to cut taxes and, you know, we have to hold back spending. But they're really powerless to come up with programs to actually help people. The Democrats, I better not even start with them. I relax lyrical on the problems. But yeah, politically, we have some huge issues. And so the question is really, can we bootstrap ourselves? Can we pull ourselves out of this? And I believe because Bible prophecy is coming like a singer-songwriter Bob Dylan said, like a slow train coming, meaning it's going to get here. It's not going to be stopped. It's going to happen. It says in the book of Acts that God has appointed a day that judgment will come. And that he knows that day. We don't know that day. But we can tell based upon what's going on that it's probably coming very soon.
Right. Well, that's a good point. But then I'm really intrigued about the differentiations of the Babylon. You spoke about the three Babylons, Mystery Babylon, Daughter of Babylon, and Babylon the Great. You really waxed eloquent on that, and there is a lot in Scripture. And in the break, I asked you, do you think those are different terms for the same entity? And I know the answer. The answer is no, because they all, it's kind of like, you know, when the birds are flying south, they're trying to escape the cold. And then when it's getting warm, they're flying north. I mean, you know, there are different attendant circumstances. So tell us about those differentiations.
Yeah, well, first off, I'd say that Babylon as a symbol, as an image, is really represents the opposition to God. The Bible, and from my standpoint, to keep it simple, is a tale of two cities. It's a tale of Babylon. It's a tale of Jerusalem. Jerusalem representing the city of God. Babylon representing the city of humankind. And so Babylon is a symbol, but Babylon was an historical empire, right? There were several Babylons in the old days. Alexander the Great made Babylon his capital after he conquered the world. However, Babylon went into decay. So it's kind of laying fallow, really, for almost 2,000 years. The Bible talked about Rome, by the way, as Babylon. Peter referred to Rome as Babylon. So Babylon is this universal symbol. However, in the last days, there are three different distinguished Babylons, and they're distinguished based upon their attributes, who destroys them, how they are destroyed, and when they are destroyed. And so I go through and point these things out. So just to touch on that very, very briefly, the daughter of Babylon appears to be destroyed before the Great Tribulation period. I believe that's the United States. And that's what a lot of the book is really to prove that point, right? It will be destroyed by nations from the north, such as North Korea, China, Russia. I believe that is what will cause, that will happen. Sodom and Gomorrah, destruction like that.
Missiles coming over the pole.
Then, yep. That all those arrows that are fired, none shall miss the target. All right, so I believe that is how they're destroyed. I believe that when they are destroyed, and this gets into a scriptural study in terms of Ezekiel 38, 39, and so forth. But that point of view that it happened slightly before the tribulation, it was the view of Chuck Missler, of Grant Jeffrey, of Tim LaHaye. It is obviously my view. Randall Price, there's a slew of scholars that hold to that view. So it's sort of surprising, but nevertheless, we believe that that's going to happen. And so Mystery Babylon really represents more of a religious entity. It could be associated to some extent to Catholicism, but not exclusively. There are problems with Protestants as well. But it will be destroyed by the Antichrist, and Antichrist has to be revealed. So this will happen sometime right after midway through the tribulation. Finally, the Great Babylon the Great, is fallen, talked about in Isaiah, talked about in Revelation. That will occur when Jesus Christ returns at the visible second coming. And so I believe that, each of these is destroyed by different entities. They're destroyed at different times. They're destroyed in different ways. That demonstrates, that proves that they are separate. And so they are both time and space realities, as well as Babylon being a symbol.
Amen. Well, I'm looking at Jeremiah 50:23. It says, "How is the hammer of the whole earth cut asunder and broken? How has Babylon become a desolation among the nations?" Douglas, thank you so much for your book, and always great to look at you in the studio, and we can talk to each other. So thank you for being with us.
Great. Thank you.
Matthew, please come to the mic and tell our listeners how they can obtain American Requiem.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our special offer today is the new book titled American Requiem: Why the USA Falls in the Last Days. You can have a copy of this hair-raising book for a gift of $25 if you live in the United States and $50 if you live in Canada. To place your order, simply call our toll-free number, 1-800-652-1144. You can also order by mail when you write to Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And you can order this book and any of our materials on our website at swrc.com. We also have the great companion book by Ron Rhodes titled New Babylon Rising. You can have a copy of it for a gift of $20. Better yet, get both books, American Requiem and New Babylon Rising, for a gift of $40. The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. The address to write is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And the website is swrc.com. Here again is Pastor Larry.
General Sir Patrick Sanders, a senior British military commander, said that the UK and the West may be forced to capitulate without a shot being fired if they continue ceding the strategic initiative to rivals such as China and Russia.
General Sanders said China has pursued a strategy of winning without fighting, changing the terms of the international order. The consequence has been a succession of strategic surprises, the erosion of strategic advantage, and the loss of initiative. Unchecked, the general said, we will find ourselves vulnerable in a time to where we have capitulated without a shot being fired.
We wonder if the same thing is true of the church. There are three very powerful forces at work to destroy the church's testimony in the dying world. First, there is the power of secularization, which may be defined as indifference to, or rejection and exclusion of, religion in every area of life. Religious ideas, institutions, and interpretations have lost their social significance. America and the church is becoming increasingly marginalized and then dominated by secularization. The hostility against Christian values is becoming more and more evident.
Secondly, there is pluralization. Our society is seeing members of diverse ethnic, racial, religious, and social groups growing and maintaining their values and special interest within the confines of our common civilization. With pluralization, there are a competing number of worldviews available to members, and no one worldview is dominant. That's why the exclusivity of the claims of Jesus to be the only way seems totally outlandish.
Of course, narrowness of thought in certain endeavors is not a bad thing. If you are driving from Oklahoma City to Los Angeles, you won't arrive in Los Angeles if you drive east. You have to go west. You can head east at a high rate of speed and violate speed limits, but you will not arrive in Los Angeles. When there is an integration between many cultures, there are multiple religions that are interjected into a society. Those who are seeking truth then have numbers of options available. They can pick a religion cafeteria style. I like this, and I don't like that. When you have this integration and mixing of cultures, people receive certain aspects of each religion and then blend them into what they believe to be their truth, without commitment to any one religion. We then have a hybrid religion. We are seeing hybrid forms of Christianity popping up like weeds. It's not a good thing.
Where there is secularization and pluralization, there is a third force that enters into the picture, and that is privatization. The practice of your faith becomes a private matter. You become a closet Christian. Why? Because the Bible has come to be considered hate speech, statement of morality. Like believing marriages between a man and a woman is considered homophobic and discriminatory against LGBTQ people. You don't want to be identified by your friends as a hater, so you don't talk about your religion. You might even stay away from your church and be very reluctant to promote Christian causes.
Just as General Sanders said, the West could be conquered by China and Russia without a shot being fired. So too, these three forces are exerting great force against the body of Christ, neutralizing its witness and stopping its forward advance for the glory of God. Particularly vulnerable to these three forces are young people. That's why it is self-defeating to think that youth are the church of tomorrow. They must be raised and trained as the church today. The CDC told the Epoch Times that as of March the 8th, over 92 million doses of mRNA vaccines for COVID-19 have been injected, with 1,637 deaths occurring following the injections. The CDC claims the vaccines are safe, although a comparison between the rates of deaths following the vaccines for COVID and those for influenza raises questions. The publicly available Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, VAERS for short, shows 1,136 deaths through February the 26th. The 1,136 deaths represent 4.5% of the total number of adverse events reported. Of those who died, 94, or 8.3%, died on the same day they got the shot. An additional 150, 13.2%, died the day after. Another 105 died 2 days after, and 68 died 3 days after. Roughly 86% of the deaths occurred in people over 60. There were 5 deaths among those aged 20 through 29, 10 in those aged 30 through 39, 23 in those aged 40 through 49, and 69 aged 50 through 59.
Neither the Pfizer or the Moderna mRNA vaccines is FDA approved. Rather, they have emergency use approval. They represent a departure from the traditional vaccines in that they don't use any part of the suspected pathogen to stimulate the immune system, but rather nucleoside messenger RNA. Dr. Christian Perron, head of infectious diseases at the Hospital des Garces in France, stated in a complaint filed in Europe, quote, "The first vaccines they are offering us are not vaccines. They are gene therapy products. They inject nucleic acids that will cause our own cells to produce elements of the virus," close quotes. According to the Epoch Times report, the death rate following COVID mRNA vaccination is much higher than that following influenza vaccination.
The Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System was put in place in 1990 to record unforeseen reactions from vaccines. It is a national early warning system to detect possible safety problems in U.S. licensed vaccines. VAERS is co-managed by the CDC and the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. On the webpage, selected adverse events reported after COVID-19 vaccination, dated March the 1st, the CDC states that, quote, "Reports of death to VAERS following vaccination do not necessarily mean the vaccine caused the death." The CDC follows up on any report of death to request additional information and learn more about what occurred and to determine whether the death was a result of the vaccine or unrelated to the vaccine, close quotes.
In another report, we read that major European nations are suspending the use of AstraZeneca vaccine over reports of dangerous blood clots in some patients. Germany, Spain, Italy, France, and others are conducting further tests. In the coming weeks, AstraZeneca is expected to apply for U.S. authorization of its vaccine. The U.S. currently relies on Pfizer, Moderna's, and Johnson & Johnson vaccines.
This will be short and sweet. The web news site Discern, DISRN.com, reported on February 28th that U.S. District Judge Michael Mossman ruled the Miss United States of America pageant does not have to include non-biological women in its competition, citing the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. He said, because I viewed it as an organization that does promote a message and seeks to maintain control of that message, I view it as an association that cannot, under the Constitution, be required to allow plaintiff to participate in what the defendant says is a contradiction of that message. Mossman's ruling was in response to a lawsuit by a biological male named Anita Noel Green, who sued after his application to the 2019 Miss U.S. of A pageant was rejected. Green's lawsuit argued the pageant is intentionally designed to exclude the specific class to which the plaintiff belongs, namely transgender females. End of the article. Only time will tell if this goes all the way to the Supreme Court, but for now, sanity has taken a step forward. We are not promoting so-called beauty pageants. Just the reminder of the current Pennsylvania Secretary of the Department of Health, Richard or Rachel Levine, in a beauty pageant should be enough to squelch any interest in promoting the concept any further. Remember 1 Corinthians 14:40, let all things be done decently and in order.
We read that the mighty Babylon will be destroyed in the end times. You can read about it in Jeremiah 50. Is that the future that awaits America? To find out more about it, we suggest you get our special offer today by calling 1-800-652-1144. You can also order our materials, books, DVDs, and other resources by writing to us at Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And all of these items are listed on our website at swrc.com. Thanks for being with us today. Join us tomorrow when Pastor Larry talks with Carl Gallups on Southwest Radio Church.